So this evening we take a break from our two parsha a week, and we have just the parsha of Emor. And although I'd like to spend the bulk of the shiur this evening discussing the section of the Moadim, which is a central section within Parshas Emor, I would like to devote just a few moments to the opening pasuk, which are the opening of the first pasuk, and just to have it before us, the very beginning, Perek Kaf Aleph, pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Emor Ela Kohanim Bnei Aaron, say to the Kohanim, sons of Aaron, Va'amata Alehem, and you shall say to them, the nefesh lo yitama ba'amav, that they cannot become impure for the deceased. And this begins the parsha of the Kohanim. I mean, we're generally within Vayikra Kol Toras Kohanim, but this is the special mitzvahs of the Kohanim. There are matters of tumah and of marriage and so on and so forth. What catches the attention of the Meforshim, beginning with, well, not only the early Meforshim, but Chazal themselves, is the opening of the double Emor. To say that Hashem says, aside from the Vayomer Hashem, which is Hashem speaking to Moshe, Emor el Kohanim, say to the Kohanim, Va'amarta Alehem, and say to them. Well, what are you meant to say to them the second time that you didn't say to them the first time? Emor means say, Va'amarta means say, and it's the same, seemingly. This is unlike the more common Daber El Bnei Yisrael, let's say, Va'amarta Alehem, which we discussed a few weeks ago, the difference between Dibor and Amira. But this, I believe, is unique as a way for Moshe to convey instructions with two Emors. Emor, Va'amarta. So what is the meaning of this? Rashi notes this, citing Chazal. But I'd like to direct our attention to a comment of the Ibn Ezra. And as we know, Ibn Ezra is well capable of compacting major ideas into minimum space. And these are his words. V'yitachen, it's possible, lihios peirush emor el kohanim, that the explanation of the first phrase, emor el kohanim, Kol ha-parsha ha-niskeres. All of the above parsha. What's the above parsha? Kedoshim. Says Ibn Ezra, ki ha-Torah bi-Adam. For the Torah is in their hands. In other words, if we could describe directionally what the Ibn Ezra is saying, the two emors in the beginning of our parsha are not facing in the same direction. One of them is facing backwards. The first emor is, tell them what we just said. And the second, va'amarta alehem, is, and then tell them the following. So this is how the Ibn Ezra deals with the two emors. Tell them the above and tell them the below. The reason why you need to tell them the above, says Ibn Ezra, with those three words, ki ha-Torah bi-Yadam, because the Torah is in their hands. What does this mean? This is a reference to the traditional role of the Kohanim as teachers of Torah. Ki sifse kohen yishmeru das, v'Torah yavakshe mipihu, says the Navi Malachi. The Kohanim were traditionally teachers of Bnei Yisrael, and as such, the contents of Parshas Kedoshim are of national relevance. That is to say, they relate to every single person in among the Jewish people. Everyone needs to be Kedoshim Tihiyu. True. But the Kohanim need to be more so. If they are the ones who are the role models, and if they are the ones who are the teachers, and if they are the ones who are the mentors and the religious figures, so to speak, if everyone needs to hear Kedoshim, they need to hear it again, because they doubly need to be mindful of the contents of Kedoshim, because they need to be more Kadosh in a sense, since they are the teachers, they need to teach not only by instruction, but also by example. So this is the fascinating explanation of the Ibn Ezra, whereby, again, the first emor heads us backwards again. The very first thing you know need to know about Parshas Emor is read Parshas Kedoshim again. That's the first message in Parshas Emor. And then we can get moving on Parshas Emor. What I think is very noteworthy about this comment of Ibn Ezra is that the two Emors have a different relationship with what they're talking about. One of them is slightly, one could say, removed, as if to say, in principle, we finish Parshas Kedoshim. If you want a reminder to go back, so be it. But the Emor that tells you that the Kohanim need to hear it again is already in the next Parsha. It's a bit of a looser connection between the Emor that has them hear Parshas Kedoshim again, in contrast with the Emor of their mitzvahs is direct. Va'amarta aleihem, that's one sentence, it reads in a straight line. Tell them, l'nefesh lo'itama ba'amav, etc. and so forth. What I mean to say is, the topography here is somewhat different in these two Emors. One is more directly connected to the Kohanim, and one is slightly looser, and the reason why is because it's not the same level of insistence. It's not the same level of message, by which we mean the mitzvahs of the Kohanim in this week's Parsha are an absolute obligation for the Kohanim. They're not a question of it's appropriate for them to have these mitzvahs or they should consider this Parsha again. They are absolute mitzvahs. And because the nature of the obligation is absolute, the syntactical flow of the amira that gets you to the Kohanim is direct and absolute. There is no leeway in one direction or the other. Not so with regards to Parshas Kedoshim. At the end of the day, as a matter of obligation, they're not more obligated to be Kaddish than the rest of the people. It's just, it's appropriate for them. It's fitting for them to be more Kaddish. They should read it again. But should and must are not the same thing. How do you distinguish between should and must? This message should be for them, this message must be for them. The answer is, how does the amira, which really is the connecting word to get the message to them, how does it appear vis-a-vis that parsha? After the fact to send them back, or as the introduction, locked into the contents to come of the parsha of Kohanim? So, it's a very interesting multi-layered element here as to the relevance of the respective relevance of the two parshas to the Kohanim. Kedoshim be above and beyond, and Emor as a matter of absolute obligation. So, having spoken about the Emor of Amarta, and there's many, many other Pirushim amongst the Mefarshim, but we make our way towards one of the central chapters of Parshas Emor, and that is what's called Parshas HaMoadim, Vayikra Perik Kaf Gimel. It's the Parsha which deals with all of the special days in the Jewish year, and in fact we read it on Pesach and on Sukkot, second day Pesach, and first, and if there is a second day Yom Tov of Sukkot, which means we're quite familiar with the contents of this parsha. Of course, we begin Shur O Kesev even before Perek Kaf Gimel, but our discussion will begin with Perek Kaf Gimel. And how does it start? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe le'emor, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem. Now we have Daber v'amarta, which of course we're used to. Speak to B'nai Yisrael, say to them, Moadei Hashem asher tikur osam mikro'ei kodesh. The festivals of Hashem, that you should call them a holy calling, or I believe the official translation is a holy convocation. Eilehei Moadai, these are my festivals. So this is a pasuk of introducing what we call the Yomim Tovim, the Moadim. Next, Pasuk Gimel. Sheish yes yomim ta'ase melocha uvayom hashvi Shabbos Shabboson. Before you look around, we're in Shabbos. Which is interesting, because formally, we've introduced the Yomim Tovim. I was expecting to hear about Yom Tov. I wasn't not expecting to hear about Shabbos, I just wasn't expecting it, because we're in Yom Tov. This is why we say that Shabbos is Techila LeMikra'i Kodesh. It's the first of the Mikra'i Kodesh. That's what we mean in Kiddush on Friday night. It's the first special day of the Mikra'i Kodesh. But Rashi raises the issue in a very interesting way. Ma inyan Shabbos etzel moados. On this occasion, Rashi voices the issue. He doesn't leave us to infer it. He voices the issue. What's Shabbos got to do with Yom Tov? Which, when you think about it, is a very interesting question to ask, because, I mean, Shabbos isn't really, it's not unrelated to Yom Tov. I think it's the closest thing we have to Yom Tov is Shabbos. We normally put them together. So it's not like Ma Inyan Shmita Etzel Har Sinai, like what's that doing here? Of all the other things in the Torah, I think it's the most closely related to Yom Tov. So why are we so upset, or why are we so surprised or taken aback to find Shabbos in the Parsha of Yomim Tovim? Says the Nachlas Yaakov, one of the classic early Acharonim, Rabbi Yaakov Selnik, one of the super commentaries on Rashi, Mefarshe Rashi, he says very simply and very beautifully, Shabbos and Yom Tov are very similar, but in one respect they are not the same. Namely, who decides what day is the special day? As we know, this is one of the defining characteristics of Yom Tov. It's the Beis Din that decide. How so? By deciding which day is Rosh Chodesh. Whatever day they decide is Rosh Chodesh is the beginning of the month, which means the 10th of that month is Yom Kippur, and the 15th of the month is Sukkot, and so on and so forth. Beis Din decides. Not so with Shabbos. Beis Din have no say as to which day Shabbos is. If the entire Beis Din, if the Grand Sanhedrin were to get together one week and decide that this week Shabbos will be on Sunday, you will have a lot of rabbis looking for a new job on Monday, because it's not acceptable. That's why on the concluding bracha, in middle bracha in the Amidah, on Shabbos we say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. It's direct. Hashem is Mekadesh HaShabbos. On Yom Tov, we don't say Hashem is Mekadesh Hazmanim. We say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael VaHazmanim. How did Yisrael make it into the Yom Tov bracha, but they didn't make it into the Shabbos bracha? Because they are involved in the process, as the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos and Daf Mem Zayin. Hashem is Mekadesh the Shabbos. Pardon me. Hashem is Mekadesh the Jewish people, and then they are Mekadesh the Zmanim. It's a two-stage process. Mekadesh Yisrael. What is the source of this idea that it's Beis Din who determine which day is Yom Tov? It's the words in Pasuk Beis, Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru'u Osam. You establish them. You will call them as Mikra'e Kodesh. So the introduction of this Parsha is, these are days that you determine. Aha. Well, if that's how the days have been introduced, then Shabbos is indeed out of place, because in this regard, you do not call Shabbos Mikra Kodesh. You are not the ones who decide. And that's why we're so taken aback by having Shabbos placed in here before we get to the Yom Tovim. That's the question. That's what, to get the echus, the measure of the issue. And what is the answer? The answer, says Rashi, again quoting from the Medrash, is, it's to teach you. Shekola mechalel es hamoados. Whoever profanes the Yomim Tovim, malin olav ki'ilu chilel es hashabosos. It's considered as if he violated Shabbos. That's what the two are putting in. Really, this chapter is about Yom Tov. It's not about Shabbos. But Shabbos is put in there to tell you that Shabbos and Yom Tov are the same, to the extent that if you don't keep Yom Tov, it's like you didn't keep Shabbos. The question is, why? I mean to say, it's not good not to keep Yom Tov. It's also not good not to keep Shabbos. But why is not keeping one the equivalent or considered as not keeping the other? And this question is discussed by Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, of course, famous for his psakim. He's the posek who led America and much of the world. in the second half of the 20th century, needs no introduction. But we also have some comments from him on the Chumash, actually in a couple of collections, but a well-known one is called Darash Moshe. And there, Rav Moshe says as follows. What is Shabbos about? Shabbos is about remembering Hashem as the creator of the world. Zeicher l'maaseh bereishis. Yet as we know, there's more than one way to relate to the concept of Hashem as creator of the world. And the difference between these two approaches, pardon me, is a world of difference. Because there are those who say or maintain, for either for philosophical base or otherwise, that they submit and they accept the idea that Hashem created the world, but they don't accept the idea of his involvement in the world post-creation. So there was the original creation, but nothing that goes on in the world is of interest to him beyond that point. That, of course, is an absolute antithesis of what Torah is all about. And on the contrary, I mean, at the risk of oversimplifying it or overstating it, if Hashem isn't interested, so why did he do it in the first place? And what is and where does that leave us? Enter the Moadim. Enter the Yomim Tovim. What are the Yomim Tovim if not recognizing Hashem as God of history in the same way or parallel to Shabbos recognizing him as God of creation? And this is what it means, therefore, when it says that if a person doesn't keep Yom Tov, it's like they didn't keep Shabbos. Because if they don't keep Yom Tov, that means they don't recognize Hashem as involved in the creation of the world, as expressed and evident by the Yomim Tovim, the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mandate of the giving of the Torah, the ongoing protection through the Sukkos. If he has no part of that, then his sense of Shabbos is also flawed. It's also impaired because it's a creator who is not a supervisor. So then where does that leave the creation? It leaves it nowhere. So the Shabbos has got something missing. That is how Rav Moshe Feinstein explains a very beautiful explanation of why so much is at stake in terms of one's fulfillment of Shabbos until one fulfills Yom Tov. It's very interesting that this idea finds resonance in a comment of the Bnei Yisoschar, the great Hasidic master of Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, who comments on the fact that, and we'll get to the days of the Omer Mirtz Hashem quite soon, but as we know, the first day of Pesach is called Shabbos, which led to all sorts of confrontations and discussions and disputations, the Karaim and the Tzidokim, other way around. And there's much discussion in the Gemara as to how do we know that when the Torah says start to count the Omer, Mimacharas HaShabbos, which is in Pasuk Tesvav of our Perek Kaf Gimel, how do we know that that's the first day of Yom Tov as opposed to Sunday? And this became the whole discussion. So much was set off. It makes one wonder, in fact, because as we know, there was so much publicity around the cutting of the Omer on Motzei Yom Tov Rishon of Pesach in order to publicize and publicly repudiate and to reject the approach of the Tzidokim, and they said it's Sunday, but it isn't Sunday. So much publicity. When you think about it, there must have been untold numbers of machloksim between the Tzidokim and the Perushim for the simple reason that every mitzvah really needs its details supplied by Torah Shebaal Peh, and if you don't recognize it, you'll either do nothing or you'll fill in the blank by yourself. Which is ironic because you don't recognize the authority of a tradition from Sinai, but you're quite happy to recognize the authority of yourself just to make something up. Either way, that's something that would be repeated many times again in history. But for our purposes, one has to wonder why certain of these machloksim became what we would call cause celebres. As if to say, such public and such heated, when you can't walk four amos in Torah without having some type of machlokas between the Tzidokim and the Pirushim. Some of them really attracted public attention. Either way, so there's much discussion in the Gemara as to how do we know that the first day of that when it refers to Shabbos, it means the first day of Pesach, and not Sunday. A question which is not asked by the Gemara is the follow-up question. Namely, once we've established that when the Torah mentions the word Shabbos, Mimachras HaShabbos, it means the morrow of the first day of Pesach. Okay, we know that it means that, but nonetheless, it could have said that. Why did it say Shabbos? Why did it choose to say Shabbos, leaving us then to work out that the word Shabbos means the first day of Pesach? This is what Rav Kuperman Zatzal used to refer to as the two questions, She'elat HaKetzad and She'elat HaMadua, the question of how and the question of why. Those are not the same thing. One follows from the other. Very often, the first question is how, meaning how do you know that the halacha is such and such, given what the pasuk says? How are you able to work all that out? How? That's ketzad. But once you do work it out, she'elat hamadua, why is the pasuk written in this way that I have to work it out? And not in a maybe slightly more linear way, in the same way, as surely as when the Torah says ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye. And we know that it does not mean literally an eye for an eye, it means money. And once again, the Gemara has much discussion about this in Maseches Baba Kama, in the 8th Perek. And here again we ask, how do you know that ayin tachas ayin means money? The answer is, whatever it is, consult the Gemara. But when you finish, the question then is, well, given that it's money, why did the Torah not just say money? Why did it say ayin tachas ayin? That's she'elat hamadua, which leads us to further questions about what the role of pshat is within the totality of Torah, something to which Rav Kuperman devoted some 50 or 60 years of his life. So when we ask the question, she'elat hamadua, why did the Torah say Shabbos, it must be to tell me that there's something, if we could use the expression, there's something Shabbistic about the first day of Pesach. There's a reason why it's called Shabbos. I mean, the Torah is capable of calling it Yom Tov, but it calls it Shabbos. Why? Says the Bnei Yisachar, because the first day of Pesach is the first of the Yomim Tovim. And if this really gives us the full meaning of what Shabbos is. We see how this echoes the idea of Rav Moshe Feinstein. If you don't have Yom Tov, your Shabbos is flawed. If you don't have Hashem as involved in the creation, specifically through the experiences of the Jewish people, so then his role as creator is there's something missing. So in a sense, when is Shabbos complete? When you start to have Yom Tov, and that's where the first of the Yom Tovim is called Shabbos. So says the Bnei Yisachar. So this is the general, in a sense, introduction. We haven't even gotten to Yom Tov yet, but we've already learned a lot about Yom Tov by the Torah talking about Shabbos first. That's how it goes. But then we move towards the, again, I would say in Yonah Diyoma, the offering of the Omer and the counting of the Omer. And that's in Perek, all of this is in Perek Kaf Gimel. So let's get to Pasuk Tes Vav, well-known Pasuk. Usvartem lachem mimachras haShabbos, you should count from the morrow of the, again, Shabbos, first day of Pesach, miyom avim chemes omer tnufa, from the day that you bring the omer, sheva Shabbos estimimus tiena, 7 full weeks. There is a very interesting shaila. It's a little bit surprising if you've never thought about it, but it's asked by Rishonim. We know that everything related to Yomim Tovim, so Bnei Chutz La'aretz, so they keep 2 out of doubt, which means that, as we know, if it's Yom Tov, Shavuos is coming up, so as per the Torah and as kept in Eretz Yisrael, it's one day, and for us it's Friday Shabbos, but and a chutzlah is 2 days, so on and so forth. Sukkot is instead of 8 days, 9 days. Pesach instead of 7 days, 8 days. Sveika diyoma. It preserves as a matter of minhag, as an extremely venerated matter of minhag, that the second day, as a throwback from the times when people weren't sure in chutzlah arts, and therefore they would keep 2 days. Very, very major institution of the halacha is kept in Chutz La'aretz. So the Rishonim asked the question. Everything that's related to the Moadim, in Chutz La'aretz we keep twice out of Suffolk. Why don't we count the Omer twice out of Suffolk? What would that sound like? The Omer is meant to be counted from the second day of Pesach. What is the second day of Pesach? Well, officially, the Bnei Chutz La'aretz were, and minhagically still are, in a state of doubt. So in the same way that you have two Siddurim, that they're two Siddurim just in case the second day is really the first day, so then when you start to count the Omer on the second day, but the next day you should start to count it again, just in case that's the first day. Every doubt about the 15th of Nisan is also about the 16th of Nisan, and the 17th of Nisan, and the 18th, all the way up to Shavuos. So it's a bit of a disarming question. But this is the Shaila. From the second day of Pesach, you should actually go back to the day before, just in case. Why is that not true? Interesting Shaila. And this question is raised by the Baal HaMor of the great Rishon Rabbeinu Zerachya HaLevi. And the Baal HaMor gives a wonderful answer, and that is that what is behind the institution of Yom Tov Sheni? It's to protect the honor of Yom Tov. It's that people should not deal with this matter lightly, and if there's a chance that the second day is really the first, there used to be a real doubt, even nowadays it remains a matter of minhag, in order to protect the covet of Yom Tov, so we keep 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. So, says the Baal HaMor, so what if catering for this doubt actually led you to detract from the honor of Yom Tov? How could that be? It will happen on the night of Shavuos. Because if you count every day twice, so that on the second day of the Omer you count again, maybe it's the first day, so on Shavuos, which is really after the Omer is finished, you'll still be finishing your count. And that is detracting from the honor of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Because Shavuos is after the Omer. It's not possibly still the final day of the Omer. And therefore, says the Baal HaMor, this is the halacha's way of saying, don't start what you can't finish. As surely as you will not be able to count day 49 twice, because the second time you count it will be Shavuos. And that is a zilzal. That's a degradation of Yom Tov, to treat it like it might still be Chol. That's really, it will be impinging on the covet of Yom Tov, and therefore, from the outset, we don't start. Very interesting. I think also, by the way, this is what's behind the minhag. It's been a while, and it could be that there's other minhagim. I only know what we did at home, and that is that when we started to count the Omer, on the second night of Pesach, it was at the end of the Seder. I know there's halachic questions. Why not say Zrizi Makdimim? Why not say do the mitzvah as soon as you can? But to count the Omer, which of course you need to do before you've done the Seder, so then you've already established it as the next day. Why are you still treating it as perhaps the day before? I think that is what's behind the minhag of counting the Omer. Well, one of the reasons why it's left until after the Seder. So you've had your Seder of Yom Tov Sheni, and now recognize that it actually is the first day of the Omer. That's the answer of the Baal HaMor. But as we know, where there are Rishonim, there are Acharonim. One of the classic closer to our time, the Kovna Rav, Rav Avram Dovber Kana Shapira, the last Rav of Kovna, in his Sefer Devar Avram, he gives a very different, equally beautiful and elegant in its way, very different answer than the Baal HaMor. Says the Devar Avram, you know, there's an interesting halacha. In many things that one needs to say, mitzvahs that are dependent on saying something, even if you don't know exactly what you're saying, but you're saying it in Hebrew, you're yotze the mitzvah. If you bench in Hebrew, but you don't know what you're saying, you're still yotze birchas hamazon. And if you say halel, but you don't really know what you're saying, you fulfill the mitzvah of halel. If you do the mitzvah in another language, you need to know exactly what you're saying. But if you say it in Hebrew, you fulfill the mitzvah even if you don't know. That's a famous ruling of the Magen Avraham. But the exception is Sfiras HaOmer. If someone says that there's a special mitzvah called Sfiras HaOmer, okay, I'm ready. Okay, say the following, and you say Hayom such and such Ba'omer in Hebrew. He doesn't speak Hebrew. So what will we say? Has he fulfilled the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? No. But why not? In other words, why is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer different than the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon or of Hallel, whereby with those mitzvahs, you don't speak Hebrew, but you said it in Lashon HaKodesh. You've done what needs to be done, even if you don't understand what you're saying. But when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Says the Dvar Avraham, the difference is very simple. The definition of counting is knowing where you are in the count. If you don't understand what you've said, you haven't counted at all. It's endemic within the concept of counting to have a sense of what of where you are, because if you don't know, you didn't count. It's not that you counted in a language that you didn't understand. You didn't count at all. Sfira denotes knowing where you are, knowing exactly where you are. Well, says the Dvar Avraham, if the very mahus, the very essence of counting means knowing exactly where you are, it's antithetical to the concept of counting to say, well, maybe actually I'm somewhere else. Maybe this is a completely different day. I don't know what day it is. So then you haven't counted at all. And that's why when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, you can't say today is the third day, but maybe it's the second day. If you say that, you haven't even fulfilled counting the third day, because the nature of counting means you know where you are, not where you might be or one of the possibilities of where you would be. And that's why there is no counting of 2 days misafik even in Chutz La'aretz. So that's thus far a brief halachic issue, which is very interesting. And again, it brings us very close to these major questions of Yom Tov Sheni and of what is Sfiras HaOmer all about. It's interesting how it can be sparked from such an unexpected type of question. As we know, according to most opinions nowadays, the counting of the Omer is midrabanan. It is midrabanan because we can see that the Torah ties it to the korban haOmer. You shall count miyom haviyachem es omer hatnufa, from the day that you bring the korban. So it seems that the Torah mitzvah to count, it's a mitzvah from the Torah, but it's tied to the korban of the Omer. If you don't have the korban of the Omer, you don't have the mitzvah of counting the Omer as per the Torah. And I believe, by the way, just while we're dealing with perhaps unexpected questions of Sfiras HaOmer, when we start to count the Omer, normally when you start to do a mitzvah, you make a bracha of the mitzvah, but also of Shechianu. If you haven't done the mitzvah, you know, for a while, right? If it's an annual mitzvah, all the other annual mitzvahs, reading the Megillah and so on and so forth, why is there no bracha of Shechianu before counting the Omer? Again, interesting question. Rishonim asked this question. And perhaps one of the more straightforward answers is because maybe nowadays we count the Omer because of how it was in the Mikdash. You can't make a Shechianu over something that remembers the Mikdash, because when the Beis HaMikdash comes back, then you make a Shechianu. This is in absentia. This is just, so we shouldn't forget how things should be, but we're not there, so there's no Shechianu. Interesting, an atmospheric sound from the absence of the bracha of Shechianu. Either way, this is the approach of almost all poskim. That is to say, once again, that the mitzvah of counting the Omer is midrabanan in our time. And there are halachic implications for that, but we're not going to go into that. Notable in taking a different stance is the Rambam. The Rambam, in Mishneh Torah, of course, in Hilchos Tmidim, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Kaf, pardon me, Halachic Kaf Dalet, he describes the mitzvah of counting the Omer, and he concludes by saying, "O mitzvah zu noheges bechol makom uvekol zman." This mitzvah applies in all places and at all times. And he's talking about the Torah mitzvah of counting the Omer. So that's very interesting as to Rambam's position. What's it all about? How do we understand that, unlike everyone else, The Rambam sees the mitzvah of counting the Omer as a d'oraisa mitzvah, even in our time. How can it be? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it seems that the Rambam sees the value of the counting of the Omer as primarily about getting you to Shavuos, because Shavuos is the time of the giving of the Torah. In other words, if the subtotal, if the be-all and end-all of the counting of the Omer is to get you to the korbanos of Shavuos, well, if you don't have them, so then you don't have a mitzvah to count. But if it's to get you to the receiving of the Torah, which is an annual event on Shavuos, you have that every year, wherever you are and whenever it is. Even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, we still have the concept of Kabbalah HaTorah on Shavuos. So the Rambam very clearly sees the primary meaning behind the counting of the Omer to get you to Shavuos as the time of re-receiving the Torah. What's very interesting is the Rambam himself says exactly that. Not in Mishneh Torah, but in Mor HaNevuchim. In the third section of Mor HaNevuchim, which is where the Rambam deals with the, among other things, with the reasons for mitzvahs, he talks about the Shalosh Regalim. And this is in Perek Mem Gimel of Mor HaNevuchim. And even just to read four or five lines, the edition that I have of the Mor HaNevuchim, of course, Rambam wrote it in Arabic. I have the Hebrew of Rav Kapach. Of course, the Mor HaNevuchim was translated earlier, even beginning in Rambam's time. I don't speak Arabic, so I can't really tell the difference between them. I'm sure they're both good. Either way, Rambam says, "Ushavuos hu yom matan Torah." That's what Shavuos is all about—the day of the giving of the Torah. "Umigedulas oso hayom," and an expression of the greatness of that day. Veroma Muso and its exalted nature, Nisperu Hayamim Minarishon Lachagim Ad Lo. We begin to count from the first of the Yom Tovim until then. Kemisha Mitzapela Voha Ahuv Bivne Adam Elav. It's just if you're waiting for a friend, someone that you haven't seen for a long time, and they're on the way, what do? You count the days. Shu Soferas Hayamim Bishos, right? You count the days. V'zeh tam sfiras ha'omer. That's what the counting of the Omer is all about. So what we see, and it's important to recognize this, is that the Aruch HaShulchan's suggestion of how the Rambam views the counting of the Omer, namely, primarily as a lead-up to Shavuos, the day of the giving of the Torah, this is stated explicitly by the Rambam himself. It's important for us to remember, as much as one needs to be aware of the different intonations, shall we say, and different discussions that take place in the Mishneh Torah, as opposed to the Mor HaNevuchim, they're both written by the Rambam in the words of the Meshech Chochma, famous words in Parshas Yisro. Yad achas kesavam. It's the same hand that wrote the Mishneh Torah that also wrote the Mor HaNevuchim. So that's important to see, right? Miyom nitukam Mitzrayim, from the day that they were separated from Mitzrayim, they count ad yom matan Torah till the day of the giving of the Torah. Shehu haya matarava tachlish yetziyasam. That's the goal. That's the purpose of leaving Mitzrayim. That's where they're linked together with this count. So for the Rambam, if the counting of the Omer is primarily to get you to Shavuos as the day of the giving of the Torah, for what that means every year, it's not tied to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Rambam says that counting the Omer is a d'oraisa mitzvah, even in our time. There's much more to say on the issue of the Omer, but I would like to move to the end of Perek Kaf Gimel. There's some, I believe, very stimulating points for discussion relating to the Chag of Sukkos. And Sukkos is, of course, the final Chag to be mentioned. And where do we see that? Perek, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Shishi, of Emor starts Pasuk Lamed Dalet. So Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor Daber Bnei Yisrael B'chamishar Sayom L'chodesh Hashvi Hazeh Chag HaSukkos, on the 15th of the 7th month. 7th month, of course, is Tishrei. On the 15th, it is Sukkos. And then we have the mitzvahs of Sukkos, as we know. Probably the most striking thing about the Torah's presentation of the Chag of Shavuos in our Parsha, which sets it apart from the other Chagim, is that it seems to be introduced twice. Why do I say that? Because we just saw in Pasuk Lamed Daled, the Torah introduces Sukkos. B'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hashvi hazeh, Chag HaSukkos, it's Sukkos. And you bring korbanos, and okay. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Eile Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Osam Mikorei Kodesh, is actually a pasuk of summation. It's a pasuk of conclusion. In the same way that the chapter began, Eile Moadei Hashem, to introduce, it then concludes. These were the Moadei Hashem. So it sounds like we finished. Except we haven't finished. And the way we know that we haven't finished is because in Pasuk Lamed Tes, the Torah introduces Sukkos again. Pasuk Lamed Tes. Ach, however, b'chamisha asayom l'chodesh hashvi, on the 15th day of the 7th month, which I think we just heard about 5 psukim ago, ba'os b'chemes tuas ha'aretz, when you gather in the crop, it's Sukkos, and then there's mitzvahs, and there's arba minim, and there's halo davar. It's very striking. It's very unusual. Sukkos has been introduced by the Torah, introduced and discussed by the Torah twice. Pasuk Lamed Dalet and Pasuk Lamed Tes. What are we to make of all of this? There is an idea, and it's discussed famously by Rav Hutner in the Parchat Yitzchak, but it preceded him in many respects by others as well. And it's discussed by the Chasam Sofer in the Droshos. And we'll introduce as follows. It's very interesting. You see that in our Parsha, and in Perikav Gimel, we go through all of the special days, the special annual days, the Yomim Tovim. It's possible to divide the Yomim Tovim into two tracks of Yom Tov. Namely, on the one hand, you have Shalosh Regalim. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, they are a set of three. There aren't any others in them. Now, you also have other Yomim Tovim, but they're not part of the Shalosh Regalim. They're part of another progression, which we call Yomim Naraim. Right? In our Parsha, it will talk about Rosh Hashanah, it will talk about Yom Kippur. So here you have the Shalosh Regalim and the Yomim Naraim. What's most interesting to know about Sukkos is that Sukkos belongs to both of those sets of Yom Tov. It is the concluding festival of both of them. It is the concluding regel of the Shalosh Regalim, and it's the concluding chag of the Yomim Noraim. After all, it's not for nothing that Sukkos comes straight after Yom Kippur. It has cohesion with Yom Kippur. And indeed, a large part of the simcha of Sukkos is celebrating the kapara of Yom Kippur. And that means that Sukkos, really, it caps both Yomim Tovim. It celebrates the end of the agricultural cycle, right, as the way that goes. It's Chag HaAsif. So it celebrates the culmination of the Regalim, but it also celebrates everything that's been happening through the Yomim Naraim. It's a very interesting way to look at Sukkos. And one can see it, in a sense, in a different way. Because really what we're saying is Sukkos is a double Yom Tov. It's two Yomim Tovim in one. Is there any way where we can see that? Well, if we attune ourselves to the language of korbanos, which we would do well to do, So in Sukkos, probably the famous korbanos are the parim, right? The bulls that they start with 13, and then they go down, and they're 70 in total, the nations of the world. But alongside them, what else do we have? Rams and sheep. How many of each? Elim shnayim, two rams. Kvasim b'nei shana arba'a asar, 14 sheep. Why is that significant for us? Because every other Yom Tov has one ram and seven sheep. Ayel Echad, Shiva Kevasim. What are we looking at on Sukkos? A double amount of korbanos. But why is there double the amount of, and these numbers are constant throughout Sukkos. Twice the amount that you have for any other Yom Tov. Why? Because it's two Yomim Tovim rolled into one. That's really the message of those Musafim. So, if it's two Yomim Tovim, we now understand why Sukkos is presented twice. First, as the last of the Yomim Neroim, and second, as the last of the Regalim. And that is why, says the Chasam Sofer, the first presentation, it doesn't yet have Arbaminim and Sukkos, which are much more about the Yom Tov as a regal, but as the last of the Shalosh Regalim. But it's still a Yom Tov. Why is it a Yom Tov? It's a Yom Tov because it's the end of the Yomim Neroim. And that's the first presentation. And you can see it in the Korbanos. Then, Pasuk Lamedtes, we introduce Sukkos again. Why? Because there's another Yom Tov within Sukkos. And that's why, the first time round, it's called the 15th of the 7th month, 15th of Tishrei. Second time round, Pasuk Lamedtes, what does it say? Ach b'chamisha asa yom l'chodesh hashvi, the 15th of the 7th month. Be'os b'chemes tevoros ha'aretz, when you gather in the produce. That wasn't mentioned the first time round, because the first presentation of Sukkos has got nothing to do with the harvest. It's got to do with Sukkos as the culmination of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But the second time round, it has Sukkos as the end of the Shalosh Regalim, and that's why it describes it as per the harvest. Very interesting. And I'll tell you something else. There is a word, we may notice it, we're not sure what to do with it. Some people have things to do with it, but every Yom Tov is introduced with its date, and that's basically what you have: the first day of the 7th month, 15th of the 1st month, and so on and so forth. How is Yom Kippur introduced? That's in Pasuk. Where are we? Pasuk Kaf Zayin. We take a look. Yom Kippur. As follows, ach, however, be'asor lachodesh hashvi'i hazeh, on the 10th of this 7th month, lachodesh hashvi'i hazeh. What is the meaning of hazeh? I mean, every 7th month is this 7th month. What is the meaning of the word hazeh? It's an interesting question, and the Netziv discusses this in the Hamikdavar. And he says, do you know what it means? The usage of the word hazer is because there already is a Yom Tov in the 7th month. It's Rosh Hashanah. On the first day of the 7th month, first day of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. And then comes Yom Kippur. The Torah doesn't speak that much about what happens on Rosh Hashanah. It calls it Zichron Teruah. Much of what we know about Rosh Hashanah as a day of judgment is from Torah Shebaal Peh. Either way, when Yom Kippur is mentioned on the 10th of the month, it's not just another Yom Tov that happens in Tishrei. It's Bachodesh Hashvi Hazeh, on this 7th month. What do we mean by this 7th month? It means the very same 7th month that we've been speaking about until now, when we discussed what? Rosh Hashanah. By moving from this discussion of Rosh Hashanah on the 1st of the month to Yom Kippur on the 10th of the month, and calling it Hazer, what you're saying is, they're connected. That self-same month that has Rosh Hashanah on the first day, also has Yom Kippur on the 10th for the same reason. It's a progression. That's the meaning of the word hazeh. That's the pshat meaning of the word hazeh. And that's why it appears in Yom Kippur. You should understand that Yom Kippur is continuing what Rosh Hashanah began. So, well, let's move to Sukkot now. And the question is, when it comes to Sukkot, are we going to find the word hazeh or not? The answer is yes and no. In other words, the first time the Sukkot is introduced in Pasuk Lamed Daled, it says, Daber al bnei Yisrael lemor b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hashvi'i hazeh. On the 15th of this seventh month. So that's another hazeh. That should be noted. In Pasuk Lamed Tes, when it's introduced again, it says, b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hashvi'i. The 15th day of the seventh month. Hazeh? No. Why not? Because this is the difference between the two presentations of Sukkot. The first presentation is yet Sukkot as the culmination of the Yomim Noraim. And as such, it's Hazeh. In the same way that Yom Kippur is Hazeh vis-a-vis Rosh Hashanah, the self-same month. So a progression of what's happening in this month leads into Sukkot. But only the first element of Sukkot. And that's why the word Hazeh appears only with regards to to the first presentation and not the second. And that is literally down to the monosyllabic words. I will, since we are discussing this, I will share with you a question. I do not have a resolution to this question, but there is no doubt that it is germane to what we're talking about. And if anyone has an answer, if anyone can bring a redemption, so then they will have my gratitude and more. How does the Torah refer to Yomim Tovim? So if we see from the very beginning, and the first of the Yomim Tovim to be discussed is Pesach. And Pasuk Zion of Pesach, Pasuk Zion, of course, of our parrot, it says, Bayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh. Once again, that term, Mikra Kodesh, a holy calling, that's a way of referring to a Yom Tov. We call it, that's what a Mikra Kodesh is. Eila Moedei Hashem, Mikra Kodesh. Which means the Torah's watchword for a Yom Tov is Mikra Kodesh. And then it goes on to say, Kol Meleches Avodah Lo Tasu. If it's a Yom Tov, you can't do Melacha, or you can't do Meleches Avodah. So the Torah's word for Yom Tov, we know this already, is Mikra Kodesh. So too, if we move forward to Perek, to Pasuk Kaf Aleph, we will find Shavuos. Pasuk Kaf Aleph. What does it say? Ukrasem be'etzem ayom hazeh Mikra Kodesh yelachem. Shavuos is Mikra Kodesh. So it is. Once again, that's a Yom Tov. Something happens, however, as we move to the next Yom Tov. Because the next Yom Tov after Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah. And what do we find there? Well, in Pasuk Kaf Dalet, we're following the psukim, we'll see something interesting. Daber al bnei Yisrael lemor b'chodesh hashvi be'echad l'chodesh, on the first of the seventh month, that is the first of Tishrei, yelachem shabboson, should be a shabboson, zichron truah, remembrance of truah, mikra kodesh. So Rosh Hashanah is also called mikra kodesh. It is a yom tov, no less than the shalosh regalim, but we see another term introduced called shabboson. And what does Shabboson mean? Does Shabboson mean rest from work? That's what Mikra Kodesh is. You can't do Malacha. It says, Kol Melecha Savada Lo Sasu. Doing Malacha on Rosh Hashanah is no different than doing Malacha on Pesach or Shavuos. But somehow, Shabboson has made an entry into Rosh Hashanah. And this will proceed, or more correctly, persist, as we go into Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is introduced in Pasuk Kaf Zayin, which we read before, Ach be'asor l'chodesh hashvi hazeh, on the 10th of the month, Yom Kippurim hu, Mikra Kodesh yelachem. Yom Kippur is the Mikra Kodesh, which of course it is, but it's also Shabboson. In fact, not only is it Shabboson, it's Shabbos Shabboson. That's Pasuk Lamed Hey. If Rosh Hashanah is Shabboson, Yom Kippur is, sorry, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Shabbos Shabbosin. It's like a super Shabbos. What are we beginning to fathom here? When you have the Yomim Tovim that are like Pesach and Shavuos, which are regalim, they're not called Shabbosin. They're just called Mikra Kodesh. But Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are called Shabbosin. Why? Because they're Yomim Noroim. And that's why you have this other element called Shabbosin. And maybe Shabbosin is about related to Tshuva or whatever it will be. Why do I mention all this? Because if we go back to the two presentations of Sukkos, we'll find something interesting. The first time Sukkos is presented, in Pasuk Lamed Hey, it says, Bayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh. Presentation A of Sukkos calls it Mikra Kodesh. Second time round, in Pasuk Lamed Tes, Ach b'chamisha asa yom l'chodesh ha-shvi b'asvechem estuas ha-aretz, Tochog v'es chag Hashem shivas yomim, shall celebrate for 7 days, b'yom ha-rishon Shabboson. Second time round, it's been called Shabboson. And here is my question. In other words, if we understand that of the two presentations of Sukkos, it's the first one that links it to the Yomim Noraim, and the second one that links it to the Shalosh Regalim, so why is it that the first one has the Shalosh Regalim signature definition of Mikra Kodesh, and the second one specifically calls it Shabboson? This, I submit, is food for thought. And I would like to suggest a further idea. It's possibly a radical idea. I hope someone else says it. If it's wrong, I retract it in advance. But I think there's merit certainly to the question and to the suggestion. Namely, the Torah goes through the Shalosh Regalim in some detail twice. In our Parsha and in Parshas Re'eh. And Parshas Re'eh gets much more exposure again in Chutz La'aretz because in Eretz Yisrael it's only read once a year in Shabbos Re'eh. But in Chutz La'aretz it's four times a year because it's the last day of Pesach and of Sukkos and second day Shavuos. Either way, there's something surprising about Sukkos in Parshas Re'eh. And that is, well, if we start with our Parsha, we know exactly where the Yomim Tovim are. Shivas Yomim, I'm reading from Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Shivas Yomim Takrivu Ish El Hashem. For 7 days you offer korbanos. Bayom HaShmini Mikra Kodesh Elohim. On the 8th day is the Mikra Kodesh, what we call Shmini Atzeres. Listen to the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Re'eh. Chag HaSukkos Tase Lecha Shivas Yomim. She makes Sukkos for 7 days. Bas Becha Bigonecha Mikvecha. When you gather in the harvest. Shivas Yomim Tachog Lashem. For 7 days, you shall rejoice before Hashem. There is no mention explicitly in the verse in Parshas Re'eh of Shmini Atzeres. Where did it go? Why is Shmini Atzeres mentioned in our Parsha, but not in Parshas Re'eh? I would like to suggest that of all of the days of Sukkos that have an affinity and represent a progression of the Yomim Noraim, Shmini Atzeres is most. There's a certain something, I'm not limiting it to atmospherically, as we know, the Tfilas Geshem, the Yomim Noraim come back. You see the Pasuk actually says, Tiku b'chodesh, Tiku shafar b'tzion, Katshu tzom, Kiru atzara. That's a pasuk in Yoel. We read it in the Haftarah for Shabbos HaGadol. Tiku Shofar B'tzion, it's Rosh Hashanah. Katshu Tzom, Yom Kippur. Kiru Atzara, Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is the day, that final day is most related to to the end of the Yomim Noraim. So Parshas Emor, which mentions all of the Yomim Tovim, not only the Shalosh Regalim, but also the Yomim Noraim, so Sukkos also has Shmini Atzeres. In Parshas Re'eh, there's no mention of the Yomim Noraim. There is no Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in Parshas Re'eh, only Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. If we are purely looking at Sukkos as the culmination, if we could almost detach and isolate the Shalosh Regalim element within Sukkos, So then there's no mention of Shemini Atzeres. Of course, halachically, we know that it's there. But in terms of what the regalim represent, Sukkos is 7 days. I believe there's room to at least to pursue this matter as we try and do our best to survey and understand the parshas of the Moedim as they appear in the Torah. Well, we'll leave it over there for this evening. I wish you all a good night, a wonderful week ahead. All the very best.